Hi, good afternoon, everybody. It's a privilege to open this call. I know it's uncertain times on the markets now. I'm sure everybody is feeling that at the moment. So in that context, we're actually quite excited to come, I think, with another strong quarter and, more importantly, with a strong guidance for the year to come. And here I speak as the chairman of the company, and I've been involved with the company, as you may know, for the last 9 years. But also as a representative of one of the large shareholders, Horizon Capital, whom, as you know, has sold out of their previous 2008 vintage fund via an ABB in October. And I'm extremely excited to have entered the company from our newest fund, which is a 2017 vintage fund. And given the very high return expectations we have on this fund, which are at least 20% IRR per year, I think it's also a testament to our conviction in the company and our conviction that this company has a very bright future in a mid to term, a long-term perspective. So with that, I'm passing the word to Eugene Comendant, who is the CEO of our company, who will take you through the annual results we achieved last year.
Thank you, Vasily, and good afternoon, everyone. Eugene Comendant speaking. Indeed, so today we'll be looking at the 2019 preliminary results unaudited for Purcari Wineries PLC. The presentation is called exactly that, 2019 preliminary unaudited results, dated February 28th, 2020. I'm sure most of you have received it via email, but it's also available on our website. Now, I'll jump straight to page 5, and in fact, that page has not drastically changed, aside from some small changes in share of sales from our markets. But one thing that I'd like to do here is to re-welcome Horizon Capital in returning as investor in Purcari, indeed following their ABB in October last year. But equally, I'd like to welcome new investors that have joined and some investors that also have increased their positions in 2019 and also in early 2020. You know, some of the investors that have joined, it has been after some investor events and roadshows. And to us, seeing the effects of our meetings actually converting into gaining new investors just reconfirms that we have solid financial and business foundations and commercial strategies to gain interest of the investor community. Okay, so the next four pages, so pages 6 to 9, they encompass our positioning and growth strategy, which we have formulated many times. And I'm sure most of you, if not all of you present in this call, are familiar with. So allow me to jump to page 10. So if we all go to page 10, we have two charts here. The chart on the left shows again that we retain our brand notoriety among social media users, and the chart on the right, an important one, shows the high appreciation for the actual wine in the bottle based on the Vino ratings. These two combined, these two effects together, of course, allow for sort of natural growth of our customer base and our fan base of Purcari Wines. I will turn to page 11 now. Here we see, especially on the right, that Purcari clearly dominates its price segment in Romania, with 8 out of top 10 best ready wines on the Vino being Purcari. I'll quickly move to page 12. In the chart on the left, you can see Purcari again retaining the status of most awarded winery in Central and Eastern Europe at Decanter. Decanter, of course, is arguably the most important wine competition in the world, or we call it the Wine Olympics. And on the right, also importantly, we can see that the number of medals at top 5 wine competitions are increasing, and they're actually increasing while a continuously increasing production of millions of bottles. So I think this is quite a feat. Moving on to page 13. So here we're looking at our market shares in Romania and other large players. Romania, of course, is covered by Nielsen, so we can have this detailation. We can see that the market is still fairly fragmented. We are continuing to grow our market share as a group in the chart on the left. We can also see that other players are also experiencing some growth, though I must point out that, let's say, the top two, for example, are not direct competitors to us, since they mainly play in the low-end price segment. But here also worth noting that the trend of the market with market shares increasing for the largest players, in a way confirms the consolidation component of our growth strategy, and it confirms that we, you know, relying on that tactic or strategy is correct. On the right, we see the 30 plus RON market shares. Clearly, Purcari dominating this segment, and we're further increasing our share with 22% for Purcari, or we can say 25% for the group overall for this segment. We'll move to page 15 now, please. So page 15, here we're happy to report very strong growth with 18% growth in revenues reaching 199 million RON. EBITDA has grown by 23% to 68 million RON with EBITDA margin at 34%, very solid. On net income, I would like to draw your attention that we are showing here the normalized net income since it is most representative of the operational results. So normalized income has grown by 19% with the net income margin at 22% for 2019. The normalization has been around gains incurred in 2018 through the revaluation of Purcari stake in Glass Container Company. There was a positive effect there in 2018 of 4.17 million RON. And then in 2019, there was actually a slight negative effect, much smaller, of course, in size, of 240,000 RON. So together we are applying this normalization. Without this normalization, the growth in net income will be 6%. But we do believe that applying this normalization and having a better representation of the operational performance is the way to look at it. And in such, the growth in net income is 19% year on year. Going further to page 16, we are looking, so here just the sort of highlights, the key operational highlights for 2019. I have already mentioned the growth figures, and when we speak about growth in absolute terms, Romania has been a key contributor to the growth, growing at 26%. In relative but also absolute terms, we see very strong growth and top and bottom line contributions from Moldova, Poland, Ukraine and China, all with solid double-digit growth. We maintain our high margins, both EBITDA and net margin, despite an increase in brand and trade marketing expenses in 2019, but in combination with a slight decrease in G&A, in some part due to lower professional fees comparing to 2018 when Purcari IPO'd. Quickly on harvest, harvest 2019 was good. We mentioned this in our last report and call. And combined with the stock buildup from 2018, we are fully ready to support the planned growth in 2020. Our wines continue to excel in quality and the way they impress consumers. I have mentioned our high rankings on Vivino, and also worth mentioning that our flagship blend, Negru de Purcari, has reached number one top spot across the world on Vivino in its price segment. This is really amazing. We're mentioning the 2020 guidance here, but I will elaborate a bit more. We have a separate slide for this later in the presentation. So moving on to the market dynamics overview. Firstly, Romania, we see very strong performance here. As a share of sales in the group, 42%, and with a growth of 26%. Here, Purcari has led the growth. Crama Ceptura grew at a high single digits, and Bardar sales are actually ramping up in Romania too. They have increased fourfold, of course, from a smaller base, but very promising. Moldova, we see strong growth in Moldova too, 90% increase with 23% of the share of group sales, with Bardar and Purcari here being star performers and contributing to the growth. The operations with Coca-Cola Hellenic, our distributor in Moldova, we see them as fully ramped up, having also activated around 700 new selling points in traditional trade, which is of course very important for our Bostavan and Bardar brands. Also improvements in the covering Horeca, some processes changes, improvements in the receivable policies and so on. So we do see a good foundation in going forward with Coca-Cola Hellenic and allowing for growth in 2020 here in Moldova. Poland grew solidly at 80%. Of course, Bostavan has a large share of sales here, but very important to mention that Purcari and Bardar are showing very strong growth in Poland too. So again, this allows for sort of new lanes for growth there. Asia, which is for us is primarily China for now, strong growth at 52%. Worth mentioning that in top wine exporting countries to China, Moldova now has reached 13th position, which shows that Moldova wines are increasing in popularity in China and are also in the consideration range of more and more in the consideration range of Chinese customers. Now, of course, a topic for today may be coronavirus. We are closely monitoring the effects. We can discuss this perhaps in the Q&A, but we are also, we are planning to potentially come up with a statement in some time from now, once we have more clarity on the effects of the coronavirus. Czech Republic and Slovakia. So if you look at these two markets, we do see a decline, and this is in part due to restructuring at one of our key distributors, but also partly due to sort of a comparison to a higher base in 2018 when one of our distributors has stocked up heavily and has increased volumes, especially towards the end of the period. At the end of 2018. Our sales, however, it's important to say that our sales and marketing teams, they are closely evaluating the sort of creating an inflection point and other growth opportunities, and that's being done through new channels, so looking at increasing the existing channels, but also adding new distribution channels to the way we address the market, but also looking at the product portfolio that we are marketing in Czech Republic, given the trends, the market trends that we see there. Ukraine shows a strong growth, 28%. Both Purcari and Bostavan, very strong growth there. So everything's well. Everything goes well. Now moving on to page 18, looking at the brands. We're sort of covering some of the points, but this is just kind of looking from a different angle. Purcari has shown Purcari has shown solid growth in all key markets, but with an overall increase in 2019 of 33%. Strong growths, are in Poland, Ukraine, and Asia with 50%, 39%, and 71% respectively. Also important, Purcari sparkling sales are picking up quite fast. And this is adding more to the growth opportunity to the Purcari overall sales. Bostavan, strong growth for Bostavan in Poland, China, and Belarus. In Moldova, the growth is milder, which we believe will improve with the geographical penetration that I've mentioned of Coca-Cola Hellenic into the fragmented trade. A large impact which has offset the overall growth figure comes from Czech Republic, which is for Bostavan the second largest market in terms of sales. As mentioned, the teams have clear strategies to address Bostavan sales in Czech Republic. Crama Ceptura grew at 11% year on year. In Q4, we have invested in an omni-channel branding campaign in Romania, from one side to support the growth, and two, maintaining our relevance in customers' choice during the holiday seasons, given the fact that some of our competitors became aggressive in promoting above the line. So our campaign went on TV, outdoor, and online and radio. Bardar keeps showing great growth and further opportunity for growth. In Moldova, very strong growth, and particularly fast growth acceleration in Romania and Poland, of course, from smaller numbers, but very promising. Also in Moldova, we have invested in a campaign, and in Q4, these were, of course, campaigns to generate sales, but also to grow brand awareness, both for Bardar and Crama Ceptura, and many of these effects, we'll see them long-term in 2020. So if we move to page 19 now, we'll be looking at the P&L. As I mentioned, strong revenue growth at 18.4%, and this is within our guidance for 2019. Gross profit has increased by 23.9% to 102 million RON, with a gross profit margin of 51.4%. The premiumization has allowed gross profit to actually grow at a higher rate than revenues, though worth mentioning there were some accounting effects on cost of goods sold and cost of sales relating to fair value of vineyards and biological assets updates in 2019 as per IFRS. Marketing and sales expenses are now at 10% of revenue. This is also following our brand and trade marketing investments in Q4. Particularly with the above-the-line campaigns I mentioned for Crama Ceptura and Bardar. G&A reduced to 11% of revenue due to a combination of lower professional fees comparing to 2018 when Procar IPO'd and some salary cost reallocations towards cost of sales and, of course, some other efficiencies. Strong gross profit numbers and SG&A control have also led to EBITDA margin being solidly at 34%, 68.2 million RON in absolute figure. Net profit for 2019 is at 44.3 million RON and with a margin of 22%. The growth here is 6%. However, when depicting the growth comparing to 2018, and to have a better view on the actual operational performance, we have normalized 2018 and 2019 net profit figures, having adjusted for net gain on the evaluation of our stake in Glass Container Company. So in such, the normalized net profit growth is actually at a very solid 19% year over year. Now, in this presentation, we do talk quite a bit about adjustments and accounting effects. So to have full transparency and to allow for maximum understanding on your side, on the next page, page 20, we have included all items and their effect that have occurred due to the application of IFRS 16. So you can look at this, but if you do have further questions, though we have Mr. Victor Arapan, our CFO here on the call, who if you do have those questions, he'll be able to go into detail. Moving on to our guidance for 2020 on page 22. So for 2020, our guidances are the following. We are looking at organic revenue growth between 16 and 20%. The relative figure has slightly decreased, but of course, we all understand that our base is larger, so we as a company are larger. So 16 to 20% these are we believe good figures. EBITDA margin conservatively between 30 to 32%, and net income margin between between 20 and 22%. If I were to go into the organic growth, so the organic top line growth will have multiple components. We see further growth opportunities in Romania, which is now our largest market. We see there opportunities of growth already with Purcari and Camaciatura. You know, we do believe that some investment in the brand can lead to strong growth in Camaciatura sales. But also, there's a large opportunity in penetrating the market with wines from our Bostavan winery. And there we have the opportunity to cover well the price segments between Purcari and Camaciatura. And if you think about it, we have all synergies. We have the team, distribution, we have the relationships in the market, we have the market knowledge. So we believe that this would be, in the components that I mentioned, this would be one component and the new growth lane. Another growth component will be entering new markets with long-term agreements. Of course, this is important. Yes, we are present in 30 plus markets with our wines, but the idea is that we want to enter strong, consistent, long-term agreements. There is already progress, I can tell you, in Western Europe and in Scandinavia, but we are planning to add efforts also in other regions. Then there is overall focus here on product development. I can say product and brand development. Already this year, we have made a great progress towards launching new products, which will allow us to better cover end channels such as Horeca, as well as customer preferences with new single variety and as well as launches of coupages and blends. We always mention and it is so that we will continue premiumization, both in our product mix, but also with price increases. So for example, this year we have already pushed well calculated price increases in certain markets. And of course, besides the organic growth, we are continuously exploring M&A opportunities with, maybe I can say, warm and promising prospects for 2020. Moving on to the next slide, of course, the growth that we're planning must rely on strong foundations. So here on this page, page 23, there are a few notable investments that we have done in our production facilities. Basically, all of these removing any barriers or any bottlenecks towards achieving the growth that we're planning for 2020. This was the presentation. So with this, I'd like to thank you for your attention so far, and we can move to the Q&A section.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we'll begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. And the first question comes from the line of Stefan Lungu of Wood & Company. Please go ahead.
Hey, hello everyone, and thanks for the presentation. Congrats on the results. I just got a couple of questions. So the first one is, can you comment more on the Ceptura sales in the fourth quarter? They seem to be lower than the same quarter last year and lower quarter on quarter as well. Could you give like more color on that? The other one is, can you comment more on how you feel the overall wine market in Romania developed in 2019, maybe both in the mid-market and premium segment? That's all from my side. Thank you.
Hi, Stefan. Thank you for the questions. Indeed, Crama did have a relatively slow growth in Q4 of 2019. This is also comparing to strong numbers in Q4 2018. But overall, we do realize that we need to invest more in the brand to allow it to grow at the pace at which Purcari is growing in Romania. We have done that, so we have realized that probably earlier, so you know, somewhere in the middle of the year 2019, we have launched the, this omni-channel campaign that I mentioned towards the end. So it was in November, December 2019, and we are planning to further continue investment in the brand in Romania, because you know, we know that to sustain the growth that we are planning, a double-digit growth is required for from Crama Ceptura too.
Yeah, just to add to this, Stefan, so I just checked the numbers. So in Romania, Ceptura has grown 9% year-on-year. So the Ceptura brand in Romania has grown 9% year-on-year in RON. And overall, the brand is flat year on year, but that's also takes into account a drop in exports for Ceptura. But I think your question referred to the growth in the core market, which is the key one for Ceptura. We always position Ceptura as a Romania-focused brand. So the growth for Ceptura is 9% year on year.
Thank you. And yeah, the second question, just on the, maybe some comments on the overall market in Romania.
Well, overall, we do, we still see the medium to upper segments increasing. You know, our focus on these segments is still important. But overall, in fact, the overall market is increasing, but with if we were to look at specific you know, we're looking between 8 and 10, between 8 and 10 euro segment, which has, it's growing around 25%. Kind of similarly, the 10 to 20, this is of course very high. So the higher segments are growing quite fast. We are growing at, you know, very solid, you know, and this is based not only on our sales, this is based on the market audit on Nielsen. We're growing at 38% in 2019. So we are definitely dominating, and we're also riding the wave of this growth, of this higher segment growth.
Cool, thank you. And would you do you know of any reports that say how much the market in Romania grew last year?
Well, we do, of course, we do access the Nielsen reports. We have to monitor the market. And yeah, overall, I think if I'm not mistaken, it's around 20, maybe just under 20. Let me just have a look. We do have it here in front of us. Yeah, I would call it, it's around maybe 15% of the growth.
Good. Thank you. Thank you very much. That's all from my side, and good luck with the rest of it. Thank you.
Stefan, I'm confirming it's 14.5, so I was pretty close.
The next question is from Alvia of LBV. Please go ahead.
Hello. Great results. Congratulations on that. Two questions from my side. If you could provide some more, you know, more comments and extensive comments on the virus situation in China. You know, what are you seeing on the beginning of the year? You know, what, if you have any plans, you know, to in case that there's a longer slowdown, what can you do there? So just more color there. And then The second question is on the CapEx. So if you could provide some, you know, after a year of strong CapEx, if you can provide some kind of guidance or some ballpark to what we can expect in terms of CapEx going forward.
Okay. So, of course, we definitely expected the question on coronavirus. Unfortunately, it's actually affecting all the markets, as you well know. It's affecting our, we believe it's the reason for some effects on our share price. In China, we do see a slowdown in orders. There is some sort of a bracing from our distributors in terms of the effects. We are working with them to make sure that the orders continue, but yes, there is an effect, there will be an effect. We decided to maintain our guidance for 2020 at 16 to 20%, because that's the planned, let's say we planned our business around this growth. You know, if we do believe that there will be a much stronger effect of the coronavirus, we are planning to come up with a statement about this for sure. The next one on the CapEx, the total CapEx investment in 2019 was 52 million RON, and in 2020 we're planning to launch to. We're planning to invest less than half of that figure.
Perfect.
So in fact, you know, we specifically wanted in this presentation to add a slide, you know, because one thing is to mention the investments that we're doing in CapEx, but another thing is to actually show the actual results that are and the output from these investments, and that's why we also added the slide in the presentation.
Just as a clarification here, so that CapEx also includes the acquisitions we've done. So that includes also the acquisitions of you may see it in the reports we've done. We've acquired over 240 hectares of new vineyards, and so that is including that that figure. And that was the peak CapEx year for us, 2019. So 2020 is going to be less than half that. So it's going to be, we're probably talking 20 million RON or so. And next year, we expect probably half of the 2020 amount. So basically, you can assume that we'll get into a low double-digit million RON figure by next year.
Perfect. And this that's very good. That's very helpful. Thank you so much.
The next question comes from the line of Keyur Rapanu of BCR. Please go ahead.
Hello. Again, congratulations on the great results and great presentation. Two very short questions, one regarding the dividend policy and the other one regarding possible M&A actions that you might be interested or not in taking.
So dividend, the policy will remain in sharing up to 50% of the net profit in dividends. That will remain for the profits for 2019. Regarding the M&A, we are, you know, this is a strong pillar for our growth. Of course, we have a strategy for organic growth, but in parallel. M&A is an important, let's say, growth lane for us. We do pursue, you know, quite a few opportunities. We have some targets in sight, some warm discussions, but at this point I cannot disclose too much. But in due time, you know, we will, whenever the discussions become more material, we'll be able to disclose.
Are we talking about, in general terms, of course, are we talking about brand acquisition or asset acquisition?
So in terms of efforts, we're talking about three. We're talking about brand acquisition, we're talking about asset acquisition, which include the production lines, so basically new production facilities, and also third, pure vineyards, for example, to support in the production from Crama Ceptura. We are going along all these three lines. The more warm ones are, you know, purchasing of producers that, you know, potentially have a brand, but they will need a brand revamp there. So we cannot call it that we're buying a brand, because again, we prefer that we buy that our targets. You know, have the opportunity of restructuring or reorganization. They are slightly distressed because this allows us to buy at a lower ticket. Also, we are looking at purchasing actual vineyards for sustaining the further growth in Crama Ceptura.
Thank you.
I hope it's clear. But if not, let me know. I'm happy to, I don't know, try to answer from maybe another angle.
No, it's clear. Thank you very much.
As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone. The next question comes from the line of Catalin Diaconu of Raiffeisen Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, so hello everyone. Coming back to sales growth, so we saw in the fourth quarter that sales growth has come down quite a bit towards 11% year-on-year. And what was also quite puzzling for me was what happened in Romania, which was also with 11%. So I understood that Ceptura did not perform so well. Also, the performance of Purcari and the other brands were also a bit lower than in previous quarters and in previous years. And what would be the outlook for the coming year?
Hi, Catherine. Indeed, the fourth quarter is showing a slightly lower increase when comparing to the full year. However, I think you've quoted 11% growth for Romania. That is not maybe fully accurate. Maybe 11% is for the overall growth. Romania, in fact, has grown at just for the quarter, just for fourth quarter, at 18.5%. Indeed, Crama Ceptura has been the slower one there. Purcari alone has grown close to 24% in the quarter. Now, if we look at overall sales, there are a few effects. One is, of course, the effect in Czech Republic, because, for example, for Bostavan, Czech Republic is the second market. And indeed, that's something that we need to fix and create an inflection point. Then we are looking at, for example, in Poland, we are comparing with a much higher base and also Q4 2018 quite high when we launched Lidl in July 2018. So now that we are comparing with a fully ramped up 2018, you can see that the growth in Q4 has slowed down. In Moldova, we are comparing again with a very strong Q4 2018 because of the change in distributor, with the previous distributor bulking up on stock. So there are quite a few effects that lead to a relative slower performance at Q4, but I can tell you that we are now in Q1 2020, and we see in fact very strong performances in for overall, but also in some markets in 2020. So overall, we do see that the trajectory for growth is, let's say, in large terms is unchanged.
Understood, thank you. And one small other question. What happened to Hush? What's the status right now? Is it bought or I'm not clear what's the status right now.
So Hush, I think it's actually today that's the 50% bidding going on. The 75%, there were no bidders. 50%, there will be, the bidding is going on. There's a deal. Mr. Arapan just confirmed there is a deal at 50%, which means that for us this has become a financing investment with a fairly good return. So as of now, and I've just found out because actually today the bidding was happening, Hush was bought by a third party, which means that we are now in a way we'll be exiting from Hush.
Understood, thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Charles Sinnocks. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, congratulations on good results. I just had two short questions. The first one was, could you comment on end consumption a bit? So, for instance, what proportion of consumption across your core markets is household consumption versus selling into restaurants, bars, etc.? Then the second question is just if you could give a brief comment on within that guidance, if that's solely driven by volume or if you are expecting ASP change as well to help drive sales growth in 2020.
Okay, thank you. So in terms of channels, of course, it slightly differs per market, but overall we have very strong presence in retail. In modern trade and retail. So modern trade are usually the primary channel to generating sales. followed by traditional by fragmented trade, and with HoReCa also being part of the mix. In fact, it's good that you mentioned, for example, with Purcari, we have been fairly not fairly but actually quite successful in covering and the modern trade and the HoReCa with the same SKUs, with the same products. However, we want to invest even more in HoReCa. We want to allow the HoReCa to grow even more. That's why we are now, aside from all the many other products that we are planning to launch fairly soon in 2020, one of them is also a HoReCa dedicated line. So that was the first one, and the second one, you asked about the share of price versus volume. For this year, the share of price and volume, price increase is slightly over one third. That's price increase, and volume is the rest. So in general terms, call it one third price, two thirds volume.
Okay, thank you.
And there are no more questions at this time. I hand back to Mr. Jürgen Kommenden for closing comments.
Okay. Okay, so I guess I'd like to end with thanking you for attending the call today. I'm hoping to meet some of you fairly soon, because we intend to be present at some events, some investor events. A few of them to mention is New York, will be New York, Budapest, and Zurich, and some others. So I'll probably meet some of you and the team here fairly soon. I'd also like to mention that overall we want to provide best-in-class investor relations to you. So you're always welcome to reach out to us either directly, because most of you know us directly. You can reach out directly to Eugenio Baltag, of whom you know very well, many of you. Or you can, you or your team can reach out via email, investor.relations@purcari.wine. And we are happy to set up a call. Again, regarding coronavirus, we are closely monitoring the effects on our business. We're looking at the effects in our markets. So far, of course, the capital markets, it's obvious that there's an impact. But in terms of sales, we're yet to see whether there's an effect or not. If we believe that there will be something meaningful and meaningful effect that we need to share, we will issue a statement, and we may adjust the guidance. Though at this point, I do not believe we will have to do that adjustment. So thank you all, and wishing you all a great end of the day and the weekend.